the Lord begin to speak and say these words prophetically, that I have a room for all of you to visit. I have a room for all of you to visit as often and as frequent as each person so desires. For some, this room is a familiar room, thoroughly furnished by continual place of visitation. And for others, this room is to be furnished by your visitation. But to all, this place is the throne room of the Lamb. You will find that this place is free to all. And to all who hear my voice, I say, come. Come to this place. Visit this place in my presence often. For let me describe to you the furnishings that surround this atmosphere. When you enter into this place, it is thoroughly furnished with peace. It is thoroughly embellished with a presence of refreshing. There is no accusation in this room, saith the Spirit of grace, but only a refreshing from your Father. The Lamb sits postured and poised, and yet the starch of religion has no place in this place. There is no atmosphere of do's and don'ts, and yet a refreshing of continual approval from me, saith the Spirit of grace. And I'm pausing because I'm hearing him say this as I spoke that last line. He spoke that in behalf of the Lamb, but the Lamb wants you to know that face to face he's speaking that to you. This is the encounter that you'll have with him in that place. For know this, as I said, saith the Lamb, that the starch of religion is removed from this place, and refreshings are the continual order of the day. Whether you stay 5 minutes or 5 hours, the same results will take place. My continual refreshing. Know this, that human effort is dissolved in this place, and it is replaced by my strength in you, saith the Spirit of grace. So visit this place. Visit, come in, for know that it is a place. It is a place to lounge and to be refreshed. Visit this place often, and you will be glad that you did, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Okay, Jesus. We don't talk like religion talks. You don't talk like religion. You're just plain and simple. And Lord, I see the furnishings of that room. I see it. And I receive it with my brethren and sisters in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just receive it together. I know you're thankful for it. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father, we just lift our voice. How precious you are. How wonderful you are. Lord, we glorify you, Jesus. Let's just take a moment before we go any further and do anything else to just reminisce what the Holy Spirit just said prophetically about that room and appreciate Him for saying so. Hallelujah. Did you see when He was speaking what He desired? What He wanted to lavish you with? I hope you could see the picture that He was trying to paint. Hallelujah. What a place of peace. Somebody help me remember some of the things he said. He said something that was what? Refreshing. It has a room for everyone. It's there for everyone. And what did you say in the lounge? That's not a normal religious term. That's good. 5 minutes. He'd take 5 minutes, or it was on your own volition, or 5 hours. And the same effect happened either way. No accusation. What else? No religion. Hallelujah. No accusation. Can you imagine that walking in and no feeling of accusing? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Did anybody see anything? Did you see anything that you saw that was just, you could just, as you were listening, you saw something particular? We got a lot of seers in this congregation, so I like to hear when you see something. But it was a beautiful picture. Hallelujah. Any seers lingering in there? Amen. Hallelujah. What? Yes. Just the exorbitant of it, just His presence. That was the whole place. That was the whole thing. And I remember Him saying this to me in it. Whether it got out, I can't remember. Is that He's never vacant from that place. You're not going to show up and have to wait on Him to come. Like the boss is out of the office and you've got to wait for Him to come. He's always there. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Well, we worship You, Jesus. Lord, we love You. We just see that place again. Hallelujah. Human sufficiency goes. It absolutely goes. We don't have to make anything up. We can just let our hair down. We can just be who we are, but You're there to refresh us and strengthen us in that place, the throne room of the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You for it so much. Thank You for it so much, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, why don't you just lift your hands for a moment and just, let's just for a few more moments, receive out of that place. And just feel that flow coming down. I exalt You, Jesus. I exalt You, Jesus. I exalt You. The place is so readily available. Hallelujah. I thank You, Father, that guilt, failures, those things are washed away in that place. Accusations are not present in that place. Jesus, we thank You for Your washings. Hallelujah. So we just release that now over Your people. Through this grace, the Lord says there's a grace here for that very purpose right now. You'll find that your conscience, if you receive this grace, is just being purified in My presence. And the strength of it, even where the enemy has been coming, and You've laid this before My feet, And you know that I have forgiven. And you know that everything between you and I is right where it needs to be in this area. And yet, at times, because it comes to your mind, you think that I'm the one that reminds you again. Know this, that the healing power that only can break these kinds of things and wash them away to where that they're not even a faint memory comes from this place. It comes from this throne room of fellowship. So receive this grace now, saith the Spirit of grace. For I will come this time and I will come again and again and again and again and again and again. And each time that you receive these washings, and know this to the entire body. For oftentimes when I talk like this, and you who sit in good conscience, oftentimes will wonder, what application does this have to me? But know this, saith the Spirit of grace, that for you to come where I'm asking you to come, and for you to do the works of the Father in the days ahead, it will depend upon my sufficiency in you. Each washing brings a refreshing. Each washing of your person and of your will and of your soul and of your conscience brings a refreshing in my spirit, saith the Spirit of grace. So allow me in these places. So allow me to come and do not hinder me. Know this, that I will perform these works, and I will perform these works at only your asking and only your will. Allow me these times of refreshing of your spirit and of your conscience. For you'll find yourself in a high place, and even your body will begin to feel as if weight has lifted off. You'll experience what the world calls a high. But I am that high place. And only in me are the greatest sensations of spirituality felt and known and understood as truth. Even when you believe and know for sure that there is nothing between you and I, allow these washings to come, and the refreshings of my spirit will take you higher and higher, so that you may be more suitable to be used without hindrance from the enemy for the work of the Father in the days ahead, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Notice that there are tender places in your conscience. For very few times do I have the opportunity to calm your day and bring forth the atmosphere of these types of services. And so I speak on this wise. Notice that at times there are tender places in your thought patterns, places that almost seem bruised, doors undesirable to enter into by reason of the multiplicity of thoughts that can bring accusation and confusion. But know this, that it is my utmost desire that in the tenderness and in the peace and in the patience that I'm offering in this room, saith the Spirit of grace, to visit these places, not against your will, but to prepare your will, and to allow me the visitation that every room inside of your heart, that every thought process, receive the healing salve of the Holy Spirit. For in the nurturing that I have to give, saith the Spirit of grace, is all the healing, all the healing of the Scripture, that what I said, that the nations will eat of the leaves of the tree of life, that they might be healed. Know this, that even before that day comes, that in this room, that eating and receiving and healing is all one. And know that this healing is not forced, nor is it mandated. For you can live with these things and live mostly a productive, happy life, always holding these things at a distance. But know this, for the service and for the enjoyment of the communion that I'm offering you, saith the Spirit of grace, that as you visit this room and as you hold this place in high regards, know this, that with the ease of a father's tender loving care, that I desire to bring health and healing, that no part of your consciousness, that no part of your thought patterns, that no memory of the past or thought for the future would be without the strength and the vitality of my life in it, saith the Spirit of grace. For when I said that I desire to heal and that you might be whole, know this, that I leave nothing, nothing, nothing without that healing power. So within this place are great reservoirs of my strength, and my visitation offers this to you on a continual basis, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you. I glorify you. For this is a place. This is a place of self-deliverance and healing. For many doctrines went a strange way and taught about inner healings that I was not a part of or could not be a part of, for the forsaking of the foundation of truth. But know this, this place of inner washing and healing is one and the same. And know that it is a place that is self-imposed, for I desire to come and come and come again. Know this, that no single visitation will accomplish everything. So do not scourge yourself as if to think that there are still things yet to be done. For no one visitation will accomplish all. But as you give heed and allow me, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, my visitations bring forth an ultimate place of healing and strength, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands one more time and receive these words? Father, I love you. I worship you. And we receive these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I would highly admonish you that when those prophecies come forth and Kathy gets those out, that you take those and read those over and over again. Hallelujah. And if you don't, I know I will be, because they meant the world to me. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen, Jesus. That's enough right there to carry us through the year. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to read together. Let's turn to Luke chapter 14 for just a little bit. Hallelujah. Pastor Dave wants me to tell you that he misses you, loves you, and I think we're pretty feeling pretty good about May's going to be the time. And we just want all of you to be praying. We don't know what all that's going to involve. It may be Dave alone, or it may be other people with him. So no matter what, we'll have a good time. Hallelujah. So I talked to him today, and he made me promise to greet you in a strong way. Hallelujah. So you've been greeted by Dave. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes. You get a mic?
Just don't want to put it off and feel bad tomorrow for not saying something. I was just thinking about how that if we didn't come tonight, would we have felt this presence wherever we would have been at? Would we have gotten the word from God like we got it? And it's just, I just want to encourage us all just to keep coming. You know, I know that a week from now, 2 or 3 weeks from now, we won't even think about tonight, the service, or probably anything that was even said. But what was said did give us an unction to want to keep going forward.
Hallelujah.
It's just like line upon line,
yes.
Precept on precept, here a little, there a little. 3 or 4 weeks from now, we won't think about tonight. It'll be just vanished. But we were here, and we got the word, and we got the nugget that he had for us.
Hallelujah.
To make us want to keep going tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
And so many times, you know, I have to admit, there's times I don't want to come. And out of obligation, because I'm a pastor's wife and I lead worship, I have to come. But I thank God I have to come.
Hallelujah.
I'm made to have to be here because of my position. If I wasn't made to be here, and I was just sitting there and didn't have a ministry to make me have to be here, there'd probably be times I wouldn't come, and there'd be times I'd miss it. But I just thank God. I'm almost thankful to God that I'm forced to have to be here, because it's a blessing for me that I'm here tonight and that I could hear God, what he had to say, and what the Lord said through Bronk about our thoughts. You know, I mean, that's just hits me. That hits me. And I thank God for that. And it's like just the simple thing of knowing that all I have to do is just keep getting in his presence.
Yes.
I knew that already. But for him to say it as sweet as God said it tonight means so much.
Thank you, Jesus.
And it encourages me to want to keep getting in his presence.
Hallelujah.
Not only coming to church, but tomorrow when I'm by myself at the house. Tonight will cause me tomorrow to want to get in that room with him.
Yes. Hallelujah.
If I hadn't have come tonight, those that are not here tonight, I wonder if they'll get in that room with him tomorrow.
Mm.
We were nudged. We got a little nudge from the Holy Spirit to get into the room with him. And I just wanted
Hallelujah.
To share that.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Candy. And there again, I encourage you, the way that the Holy Spirit will have the ability to speak this again is either for you to get the CD or go online and get it, or get the actual written prophecies. I like to hear it because you hear it in the spirit in which it was spoken. And there's an anointing just in the demeanor by which something is spoken. So, yes, sir. He wants me to tell you this, and I don't know if we'll get here, but he's wanting me to go back to that, what he's saying. All of that is for you. It's for me. I receive it as well as my wife was speaking. I'm not, and I think the transparency of the Holy Spirit comes through us and through any of you that get a chance to testify, because we know this place. If you've been around ministry for very many years, you'll find out that, reluctantly I say this, that there's usually a double standard. And the standard is this, is that what stands up here is already arrived, and you need to come to where this place has come to. I find the more that I go to that place, the more that I need it. And he's saying to all of us, every single one of us, that if we're going to be used in the fashion by which we are petitioning him to be used, and I hope you understand that every time we make a confession on a weekly basis, that Immokalee's in revival, that is a confession / petition, and we're asking to be used in that manner. Well, it wouldn't do me any good, nor you any good, to go into a lot of details to tell you that as a whole, and this is a shame, as a whole, the ministry, the fivefold, needs as much healing as the body of Christ today. And the reason why the Lamb is not able to get out and do the works that He said that you'll do, and greater because I go to the Father, is because these rooms by the fivefold have not been visited enough to where that He goes in and unlocks all of those secret departments and compartments to where that He's readily available and accessible to go in and bring healing to every part of their life and to remove every unsanctioned thing that God is not part of and allow the purging and allow the healing. And usually it's just camouflaged because there's a screen between, and I'm not speaking personally right now, although I am going and visiting that room, but usually on a normal basis there is a screen, there's a barrier between you and this person standing here. And it is a forethought, it's a derived thought, whether you speak it, is that that man has gone or that woman has gone to that room, and they should be healed enough that the Lamb has such a versatility in them. He can send them here, He can do this, He can do that. And yet, that's not true. There's such an inhibited place in most ministers, in most families of most ministers, because anointing for this is different than you personally visiting that room on a continual basis and letting the Lamb say, "Are you ready? Can I walk into that place? Can I visit you? Can we sit down? Can I talk to you very privately about this place? Can I touch it?" Sometimes you won't let Him touch it. The ministers I thank God that we don't have a lot of, I mean, there are fivefold in this room, but we don't have a lot of straight-laced necktie ministers in here that could look back at me right now and play hypocrite. And I'm being nice. But He wants to touch all those places. He wants to touch them all. Why? Because of where He's wanting to take us all together, is that when we go into the streets or when we bring in the masses, that the Word says this, that we're able to administer the comfort wherewith we ourselves are also comforted. In other words, how can we get people healed if we're not healed ourselves? I mean, we need to be strong, and nobody will ever be, you know, perfect in the sense of what we equivocate human perfection, because we're always striving to another place. But thank God for this offer. We've got a generous offer in front of us. Hallelujah. And we can back it all up by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. All right, let's do this and let's do it. And I think we can do it rather quickly, but I just want to read this Word to you tonight. Let's look at Luke chapter 14. I'm going to comment just a little bit and prepare you. We're going to have a little grace line here. I want to especially pray over these two guys and any of the rest of you that so desire. Wasn't Sunday wonderful? Let's give Him all the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to try to do something very miraculous. I'm going to read the 35 verses all the way through without commenting. Wouldn't that be something? Okay. Yes, I heard Barbara say. I can do it in Jesus' name. Luke 14:1. And it came to pass, as He went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched Him. And behold, there was a certain man before Him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" And they held their peace. And He took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, "Which of you, having an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those that were bidden, when he marked how they chose the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him, come and say to thee, Give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also unto him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich friends, rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went a great multitude with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salt seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Isn't that amazing? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Go Gators. Hallelujah. Man, I wanted to so many times. I was like, I was choking on meat here. Hallelujah. He just wants me to make these brief comments. The whole of which we've read tonight and which we have spoke frequently is the crux of this whole thing is in verse 11. This whole thing is about exaltation. And of course, it's God's exaltation. And verse 11 says, Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad, having read this and understand the exaltation that we commonly understand what it is. And I'll reiterate it for you by simply saying everything that He talked about in the supper that was bidden by this good man or this master, anybody that gets to be a participant as being able to serve this kind of supper, what kind of supper? Halt, blind, maimed, come. Because if you get them to come, and you can get them to the place to where they can come, and God is participating in that, obviously, if God participates to get them to come, then obviously you can do something about their condition. And if you're able to do something about their condition, you've been exalted to the highest place in this life that you can possibly be exalted, and that's to be used by God. Hallelujah. That's the exaltation process. To be a servant that can be used, not only that is called. 1 Corinthians 12:28 breaks down that there are there's 12 different callings, but in four different categories. The fivefold, helps and governments, and diversities of tongues. Now we're all called to at least a couple of those. We know we're all called to pray in tongues, so we're all called to that. Some of you are called to the fivefold, to minister the gospel. Some of you are called to helps, to help supply the financial needs of the body. Some of you are to administrate in governments all of the integral parts, of the all the tentacles that take place in a revival, in a church. But we know that the diversities of tongues, we're all called to that. We know that. But to be used adequately and sufficiently in whatever your call is, to be part of, and I mean talking about a vital part of that kind of supper, that's life's greatest exaltation. It's life's greatest exaltation. And one thing that we've mentioned in this place several times before, not only is 11, verse 11, the whole key, is the whole key point of chapter 14 is God's exaltation. But a key point to that exaltation, I mean the epitome of it would be this, is in verse 10 where he talks about, then you'll have worship of those who, you'll have worship of those who are in your presence, or who take the meat with you, or who have a common life with you, and they see you, they watch you. That's the greatest place of exaltation. When Candy says that I have changed, see, you don't see me except in church. But where are you going with this, Pastor? Listen, the place that we all know, the place that we generally talk about this time of year. It's one thing to know that He wants us to go to a place where He can exalt us. Here's what I'm so thankful for. I am so thankful that not only do I hear Him say, I want to exalt you, the thing that I'm so thankful for is I know how to let Him bring me to that place of exaltation. How so? He said, if any man will abase himself, then I can exalt him. If I can be abased, then He can fit me. He can maneuver me and fit me and fashion me and get me ready. Whatever my part is, if I'm in the fivefold, I know that I am. And I don't know my end call. I mean, I pastor right now, and I believe I'll always do this. But along with this call, there may be other parts of the fivefold that will facilitate what my call is. Folks, I believe none of us have even envisioned what our latter end will be. Hallelujah. In facilitating this supper. Blind, maimed, halt. But here's the joy of it. If I can really abase myself, then I get to be facilitated, fashioned, fitted, and endowed with everything necessary to be exalted, to say, you want to be a first-class servant? Here's all the peace, the power, the love, the joy, the strength, everything, all the money if you're a giver, If you're in governments, all of everything here in wisdom to facilitate that, He promises me that. Now, all my life could be spent just on some kind of needless merry-go-round trying to figure out how to abase myself. But thank God, the Holy Spirit has showed us tremendous, infallible inroads by His Spirit of how that the flesh can come under the dominance of the Holy Spirit and bow its knee, bend its knee truly, with not just a facade of saying, I'll do that. I'll do that in the church. Or I'll bake a pie. Or I'll send a nice Hallmark card. And none of those things are wrong. But they're only fruit. They're only fruit. There's only one place and only one person that can actually exact in you the place where that He can bring you to a place where you're humbled to where that He can also turn around and highly exalt you. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And one of those precious inroads that He has is fasting. It really is. I would invite any of you and all of you, if any of you have not or you don't know about it, recently I've been blessed by listening to again or completing some of what the Lord visited Gary Carpenter with a number of years ago, and that's the face-to-face, I don't know what he calls it, face-to-face visitation. Part of that face-to-face visitation, now he had it transcribed for a long time and you just read it. Now I'm just listening. I don't have the time necessarily to sit down, but I'm listening to it and it is feeding my spirit. And it's like, it's 2 or 3 hours long, but you can listen to it in segments. If you can go on a computer, it's on his website and we can help you later. I'm not going to get into that too much as far as the commercial goes right now. But part of that segment of that face-to-face communication, and just real short, it was a time where the Holy Spirit came and spoke to him in such a verbatim kind of fashion that he was able to speak into a micro recorder and then transcribe these things later. But it was so powerful how the Holy Spirit began to speak to him in such a person-to-person as he desires to do with all of us. But I say all that to say this, is part of that was there was a certain subtitle in that was called The Scourging Post. And in The Scourging Post, one of the things that the Holy Spirit said, well, first let me say this, he saw the vision in his spirit of the actual scourging post that Christ went to prior to his crucifixion. And he described it as something about waist high, and that's true to tradition, and that a man would have to bend over and be shackled in that so that his back was exposed. It was not like this. He had to bend over or kneel down to actually be shackled to that scourging post. And as I said, that historically is factual. But I think the thing that gripped my heart as I was listening to that the other day was this. The Holy Spirit said that in that scourging post, it was a place of invitation. And basically what it was a crucifixion of the flesh, a dying process. And this is what we're talking about tonight, a dying process whereby which He comes on the backside of that and exalts you to the place of servanthood where you really are able to participate at full tilt, at full capacity to what He's called you to do. Well, in that scourging process, here's the thing, as I said, that gripped my heart so much, which I knew, like Candy said, we know these things, many of them, and He continues to speak them that were built up. The Holy Spirit said, I will put no man, and I'm not going to say this verbatim, obviously, but this is in essence as it gripped my spirit. He said this, I put no one's hands in those shackles of force. Everybody that comes to this place must do it on their own volition. It's your desire. It's whether or not you come to this place or not come to this place. Whether you come to this place where I allow the scourging, and when I say scourging, he's talking about the lashes of the Holy Spirit. And these are not the same lashes of torment and fear and anxiety that the world and Satan and our own conscience, as adequately described by the Holy Spirit tonight, sometimes tries to put on us. But those are the lashes, those are the scourgings where the Holy Spirit comes and He talks to us and we allow Him into those rooms where we allow that mortification. But what He said was this: I will force no individual in my church to put his hands in these shackles. He so vividly described what those shackles looked like. But He said, it must be on your own desire. You have to be the one. And He said this, I love this. He said, son, anybody that gets hungry for the Spirit and to go into me will always come to this place. Most people, or a lot of people, I don't know what He said exactly there. He said, many reject it. And they walk away from it. They don't want to deal with that place and allow the Spirit to bring forth those scourgings. He said, but here's the thing. Even when they leave it, He says, I go with them. But when their hunger builds again to go back into my presence and have the very best that God has to offer, they still got to come back to that same post. They still have to be scourged for the process to be made complete, for us to go to the level that we're free. And He says, if you leave it again, if that process takes place a dozen times in your life or 10, I mean, it's unlimited, no matter how many times you walk away from that and say, I don't want to deal with that. When you go out and your joy returns and you get hungry, I want more God, the Holy Spirit will gently lead you again to that post and say, will you be shackled? So to me, at this point in my life, it's a no-brainer. I don't have time to waste. I don't have another year to flounder in the flesh and then get happy about God and then God to bring me back and say, this is where you left off. And the Holy Spirit said, one of the greatest ways for you to shackle yourself to that scourging post, He said, is fasting. Glory be to God. You know it is, because your lip goes up like this when you hear it. So you know it is an exact. Anything that causes a rebuttal of the flesh has to be the best thing for it. Anything that causes you to say, oh, I don't want that you just left the scourging post. Go get happy, you'll come back to it, and you'll still hear the same thing. You must fast. Glory be to God. Now, everybody that needs this is not here tonight. But I will make sure we get multiple duplicates and pass out to everybody. Hallelujah. I just want to just read a couple more things here before you stone me. Hallelujah. Verse 26 says, if any man will come to me and hate not his father, mother, on and on, wife, children, brethren. This is not, as we well know, a forsaking, a physical forsaking. Jesus would in no wise ask. He wouldn't on one hand try to teach you to be the best father, mother, husband, and wife, and then say you've got to divorce all these. He's talking about an inner sanctum of your spirit, that you make a conscious decision to follow Him so that nobody in the sphere of your world, nobody that you could hold to the ultimate of love and adoration, could interfere with your trek of following Him with full, resolved servanthood and say, Lord, see, what He's saying is this. Those that He's identifying there are the same ones that He was identifying in the stanza prior to this. It's all one subject. It's all one topic. And Jesus is talking about He's invited to a feast. And then He says, don't do this. And then He puts a parable together. There's an exact replica of what He's saying don't do, but also do in inviting all of these halt and blind and maimed. And look at earlier verses here in 16. We jump up from 26 to 16. A certain man made a great supper, and he sent this servant out. Verse 17 and 18 says, "And they all with one consent began to make excuse." You know what? Though we're not going to read those, as I've said before, I say again. This is what amazes me about this. This is why this kind of resolve of 26 that you have to forsake all inside of yourself and follow Him. And even though the subject matter of fasting is not listed here, we've covered that and possibly we'll cover that again in the very near future. I'm bringing a subject matter in on this that's not necessarily spelled out in chapter 14. But when Jesus says in 26 that we must forsake all, we understand that He previously spoke of people that with a consent, all with one consent, begin to make excuse of why they could not be exalted to a place of servanthood. And do you know what amazes me? It'll amaze you too, and you've probably already discovered this. None of these things that were listed here, they're not sin. They're not sin. There's no perversion listed here. It's not perverted to buy a piece of property. There's no sin in that. It's not a sin to invest in and make investments. It's certainly not a sin to marry. None of these things are out of the ordinary of things. And yet, they kept people from participating in what God was saying, "I'm asking you to participate in." He had to use, if He would have used blatant sin, we'd have said, "Yeah, and I don't identify with that." But what He was saying was this: the thing that kept people away from becoming servants to this supper was things that they could not recognize. And even the people that hear it and see it, they can't even distinguish it. In essence, He's saying the things that will keep the body of Christ as a whole out of ever participating with full measure are things that are so subtle and creep in. See, when you read 26, you say this: "No, Jesus, I will not let my wife or my kids or my life in any way ever come in comparison to serving You." And yet, the decision there is blatant. It sounds blatant. Standing there, "No, I'm not going to love candy as much as I love Jesus." But the subtlety of it is up in the earlier parts where He said, look, they had excuses that were totally, seemingly legitimate excuses. They weren't perversion. They weren't even sin. They were things that kept them perpetually in a self-induced lifestyle that constantly kept them from surrendering their whole life to God. And folks, that shackle of fasting, what it does is this, and as I said, we're not necessarily preaching the academics of fasting tonight, but one of the things it does is this: while you're at that scourging post of fasting, it begins to open up all your eyes to all the things that seem so legitimate. Listen, they're so legitimate that nobody... Here's the subtlety of it. They're so legitimate that nobody can even argue. Nobody can even correct you but the Holy Spirit. Even your pastor, if you said these things, how can a pastor tell you those things are wrong? They're not. Only the Holy Spirit can tell you that legitimate things are stealing the time in your life that ought to be better separated to the things of God. Only the Holy Spirit. And that is the power of this place that Jesus said they would all... And you know what I really believe? I believe that these were people that had their life together. They could buy land, they could buy equipment, and I think these were entrepreneurs that missed out. We're not going to miss out. Hallelujah. We choose Him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to close, but we're not going to close. We're going to pray. Listen, right now, the revival's not raging, is it? It is coming, and it is here, we say. Jesus said in the latter part of this, He said, here's wisdom. If you forsake all, in essence, what you get is this. He said, He asked the question, what man would make war without really considering it? What man would build a house without considering it? Listen, folks, we're doing our best. We have not arrived. I can tell you first person. We've not arrived on knowing everything that we need to know. But right now, we're storing up for revival. We're laying aside for revival. Not so much financially right now because of the condition of everything, but spiritually speaking, we are taking account and saying, look, let's see, if I want to make it all the way and don't want to run off on her, which happens all the time, not boasting in myself, if I as a parishioner want to be able to be here when it happens, see, I believe all of you are going to be here. But it's all based on whether or not you'll go to that shackling post. People that have been with Dave 14, 15 years of just in the last year or so, some of them walked away. So your longevity, just numerically, is not the guarantee of you staying. Your continual visiting that place is your certain guarantee that you'll make it all the way through. My continual visiting that place is the guarantee that I won't lose this mark. But Jesus said this. He said, look, if you want to build this tower, then sit down and figure on what it's going to cost you. Okay, let's see. Revival sounds great. It looks great. It feels good to the Spirit. There is a devil out there that hates revival, and he hates people and families that even intend, that even make mention with sincerity on revival. Now let's see, if I don't want my family destroyed and I don't want my life destroyed, then I better do what it takes to take the building material and the wisdom, because I'm meeting an army in the natural. Like I said about, you know, the casino the other day, it don't look like we're much competition right now. But listen, I'm meeting an army that looks like it's triple my size. What am I going to store up? What wisdom do I need? I need the wisdom from the Father. Folks, I need you. I need you to be praying for me. I'll be praying for you. Let's make that commitment to each other. But I can tell you, without doing any teaching on fasting, other than to mention it as part of this chapter, as a scourging post, and as a place of instant exaltation, make intentions, the right kind, to let the Holy Spirit lead you in this year. Because there's a safety in it, and there's a peace in it. Let me tell you, that scourging post, that sounds bad. It sounds bad, but it's the most liberating thing that you'll ever do. It really is. Now, if you fight it, if you want to stay in church and fight it, God bless you for enjoying being miserable. I tell you, I don't know why anybody would come to this church and have half of their life in the world, because it would just, I wouldn't even like me. I wouldn't like me, because I'm all up in your grill all the time. So, I mean, enjoy the ride once you submit to it. And so, again, the Holy Spirit is asking you just to simply consider these things in this year. And we'll teach more emphatically on it maybe later in the next couple of weeks, when those people that really need to hear the message on fasting is here. I would say this, don't do anything that you've not, I mean, don't step out into deep waters and say, well, I'm going to do one and I'm going to do the mother of all fasts and kill everything inside of me. You'll probably leave the church. Don't do that. If you haven't fasted a long, long time, just start out real small. Just like that throne room of the Spirit that Barbara was reminded us, the 5 minutes, 5 hours. Listen, one day a week, anything. And program. Listen, I found out this a long time ago. Program your spirit and soul for success. It's been a long, 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 long time that I felt like that the flesh overpowered me and I stopped to fast. The reason being is, from the beginning, from nativity, from the cradle stage, the Holy Spirit taught me, only do what I tell you to do, get that under your belt, and enjoy the success of it. Allow Him to pat you on the back. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to start out with this. They can't accomplish it, and then they don't like to see that scourging again because all they see is failure. He'd rather see you do one day a week or one day a month, for that matter, than to start out with something that you cannot finish. But folks, I know there's some revivalists in here. And I know you love God, and it is the freest thing that you... Listen, He wants to talk to you in this year. And He wants to tell you things to come. You know, the Holy Spirit will lay your life out in front of you so vividly that the devil will not be a surprise to you. It's not God's will that He shows up and sucker punches you and you're just laying in the ground. You're saying, I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. We're supposed to be walking like Jesus, where nothing surprises us. And we just smile at everything that's coming because we knew weeks and months in advance. We even knew when the flesh was going to try to push us around. And listen, folks, if you know it, that you can be prepared for it, and it will not have an effect on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But right now, Father, we thank You and praise You. I'm so thankful for Your grace. Lord, right now, I stand in this grace line myself. The Lord says, yes, son, remind them of this. That know this, that it is of your Father's utmost intent, both to will and to do His good pleasure. For when I said that I force no man to this place, I mean I force no man to this place. And behind that understanding, there is no malice on my part. Only the understanding that this place is a place that I gently want for all of my children to be brought to by my strength and by my spirit and by the will of my purpose inside of you, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. For know this, that there is a protection under my covering. And all those who come in faith to this place before, during, and after, I will not only work the work of grace inside of you, but I will shield you from those things in which the enemy would love to accomplish, to detour you and to cause you to say, this does not work. I won't do it again. It's not happening. Know this, that I will shield you in this place, and it'll be a place of surety and security and safety, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.